Hello and welcome to the Jen Marples Show. I'm your host, Jen Marples, founder of the Jen Marples Agency, mentor to women worldwide, and your number one champion and cheerleader dedicated to helping you embrace and rock midlife. The Jen Marples Show has one goal, to empower you so you can go out and power the world. So each week, I'll bring you conversations with incredible women who will inspire us, educate us, and motivate us to live our best lives. I also pop on solo to share my best advice, tips, and tools to help you unapologetically go for your midlife dreams, embrace your age, and become unstoppable. If you are looking for a change, ready to uplevel your life and business, or pivot into something new, then this is the show for you. And know this, you're not too fucking old to step into the midlife spotlight and claim all that you desire. It's your time to shine, and I am so glad you're here. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Jen Marples Show. Today, we're doing something a little fun and different. And I actually got the idea to do this little fun and different thing from you gals, because one of you, actually several of you, have said this to me in different ways. But most recently, someone, you know who you are, you were in the yoga bathroom with me and you said, Jen, why don't you have somebody interview you so we hear your whole story? And then it occurred to me that, you know, I tell my story here and there and I do my solo episodes, but they're more focused on helping you and giving you some kind of a teachable tool that you can run with. So I talk a little bit about me, but you don't get the full 411 on my whole history, my story, my pivot, why I do what I do. You've heard this in fits and spurts, but unless you've heard me be interviewed on another podcast on somebody else's show, you don't get the full deep dive into me and what makes me beat and why I do all I do. So today I actually have on a dear, dear, dear friend. You've heard me say her name before, and she's also been a guest on this podcast. She just gave me a heart little, you know, hand emoji type thing. We're trying to figure out, we were on a Zoom earlier and people on Zooms were making heart shapes and doing all these things. Balloons were flying and hearts were flying. We haven't figured out how to do that yet, but we will. So it's Bronwyn Saglimbeni. She has been on the show, and it's funny. There's another podcast listener, you'll know who you are when you hear me say this. She said when she listened to us talk on that podcast many moons ago, she could have sworn that we were like in the same Brownie Trooper Girl Scouts together.
Oh, we so were. In some parallel universe, we were.
We totally were. She's one of those gals where, you know, you meet a new friend, you're like, oh my God, I've known you like forever and please be my best friend because I love you so much. This is Bronwyn for me.
Same seas.
Same. We just love each other. We're in a leadership group together. And she's actually somebody I go to. I talk about this often, about having somebody in your realm who you're like, when all the shit is hitting the fan and you're like, can you please remind me who I am?
Oh, so important to have that.
You're that for me, girl.
Oh, same, Jen. Well, I just want to start by saying that of all the people I know, there are only a handful of women that I can really name who will always put the spotlight on ambitious women. Let me say ambitious women I know that their first instinct is to shine the spotlight on other women. Not everybody's like that. And you are one of those people, Jen, where you will go out of your way to hype another woman, her talents, her efforts, her goodies that are launching. You're just one of those people. And it is so fun to be able to shine that spotlight back at you and let you bask in that, because you do it for all of us all the time.
Well, thanks for saying that. And it's just who I am. Thanks
I know.
For saying that. And this is why we're all going to talk, everyone, and you're going to hear her ask me the questions, because I am naturally wired. You might think because I have a podcast and I show up on social media that this is all really easy for me. It's not. It's so much easier for me to pimp all y'all out versus doing it for yourself.
Yes.
And that's why I know how hard it is to get out there and get in front of the camera and step into the spotlight, because I've had to do the thing that I want you all to do and that I know you can't do.
That's actually a good place to start, Jen, which is let's go into your backstory and the thing that led you to your soul's calling, which I think is what you're doing now. You come from the world of PR, which is being the guy behind the guy, so to speak, right? The one behind the camera, the one off to the side, the one in the background. Talk to us about how that part of your career led you to find your sweet spot that you're at now.
Such a great question. I should also mention that Bronwyn has a podcast too. It's 20 Minutes with Bronwyn. So she's a really great interviewer.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Just in case it comes across, because you're so good at this. So before I answer that question, I just got to let everyone know I've just come off college tours with my son and seeing all the shiny, all the resources for these kids. If they go to business school, how they're going to have mentors and companies come in and this and that and internships and hire them. And none of that was there for me for the lowly little liberal arts English major from the University of Iowa. It's like, here's your degree. I have no idea what the hell you're going to do with it. And go have fun. Go have fun doing the thing that you don't know what you're going to do because all you've done is read for 4 years.
And you're going to have to pay your own rent and you're going to have to find your own way.
Right. So that led me to, this is going to be a long one. I'll make it real short, but I got into PR by accident. It wasn't like I went to school to study it. Writing definitely helps. But one of my mom's friends was a publicist in Honolulu. And she's like, go meet Elisa Josephson and, see what she's all about. She offered me an internship for $7.50 an hour. This is 1992.
And listen, not all internships were paid back then. So you were probably like psyched.
I was lucky. I was living at home, so I could do it.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll do this for a while. And she threw me, it was a small shop and she just threw me into the fire. Day two, I was calling media. I was booking press at some Broadway show was touring. And all of a sudden I'm doing the PR things. Talking to press, talking to our clients, booking media to come to a big Broadway show. And all of a sudden I wake up months later and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in PR. So I left that internship was 3 months long. And then I ended up getting a job as the PR manager for 2 tourist attractions in Hawaii. And then my boss left. And then I became the PR director for these 2 tourist attractions at the ripe old age of 25.
Amazing.
Of course, I still, as you know, wasn't making that much money because it was the 90s and it was PR, but I had all this responsibility and it was like, thank you, sir. May I have another? And did incredible things and worked with all these big movies and Baywatch came to shoot for 2 weeks. I'm like, I really like this. And so fast forward, Hawaii doesn't have a lot of job opportunity. In fact, a lot of people who were in these jobs when I was there like 28 years ago are still there at these jobs.
Wow.
Heads of PR at hotels and things like that. Because people, you got a good thing going in Hawaii. You don't walk away from it. Mm-hmm. So I moved to Colorado. It's where I met my husband, kept working in PR. Then we moved to Asia, kept working in PR and then moved to San Francisco in 2000. Worked at 2 big tech PR firms, went through a round of a layoff where like half the company was gone because we had Sun Microsystems was a big client. And all of a sudden we're like, okay, now what do we do? And I was so fried and burned, and being in tech PR in the tech world is a whole other
Ooh,
podcast episode.
I was there with you, girl.
You're with me. And we all have PTSD from those crazy times.
We do have PTSD.
I was ready to work at Starbucks. But then, as luck would have it, one of my girlfriends was like, meet my friend. He just started a wine business. And I met him for lunch. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really cool. It's Black Box Wines. It's on the store shelves now. He was my first client. And through mergers and acquisitions, his company grew and then got acquired by a big publicly traded company, Constellation Wine. So then my company grew with him. And we just kept growing, growing, growing. So food, travel, wine, PR, all the stuff I loved. I did not love tech, but I did love food, wine, and travel. So I'm like, I can do this. And I needed to work for myself. So I've been an entrepreneur. I've been working for myself for 20 years. So I had my first PR firm, Koa Communications, which nobody knew what the name meant at the time, because Koa is a Hawaiian wood. Mm. And so everybody thought we were associated with the Koa Campground Association, funny aside.
Oh my God, that's
it. It's a KOA Campground Association. So we'd get phone calls every now and again wanting to book a spot at the place. And we're like, oh, you've got the wrong, we're actually a PR firm. And it was really great. And I like to joke as the company was growing, my waistline was growing because in the span of 2 years, I popped out 3 kids. So I had my son and then two years later, I had my twins.
While you were running, like it was your company and you were responsible for all of it.
Yep. Couple people working for me, big publicly traded clients. Whole Foods was this client, Constellation Wines. I was doing a lot of crisis communications. Mm. So for Whole Foods, it was anything from slinging turkeys to dealing with union protests. And I've got 1,000 funny stories. And of course, Working Mother magazine, like at the preschool intro thing. And a lot of the moms were badasses in the city. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I got to go. Like, Reese, honey, we got to go. I got to go deal with the union protest at Whole Foods at the Franklin. Like, I have to go. I can't be at this preschool thing anymore. I got to go. But that was my life, just kind of like crazy, 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 crazy. And I never kind of stepped out of it to see that it was nuts because I was raising three kids. I neglected to mention I was also living at the corner of Haight-Ashbury.
Oh, Jesus.
So when my husband and I bought our condo in 2003, we never thought in a million years we'd have one kid there, much less three kids. And he's an entrepreneur also. He runs a real estate company. He's had a couple different ones to date. But all of our family was like, how are you doing this? We didn't have parking in the building. It was down the street. You know, I took Zipcars. If anybody remembers, Zipcar was our second car. Cabbing anywhere. This was pre-Uber. And it was just a crazy, somewhat controlled shit show. But my clients, everybody got the best of me and I got the worst of me. So I, you know, I didn't have feeling in my fingers and toes. I was just so stressed. I cracked through crowns because of the stress. I'd wake up with my hands in ball and fists because I was just a ball of stress. But you're like, I can't stop. I remember my husband saying one of my quasi business partner left the company. And any small business owners out there, you know, you got to just get the shit done. And I got to try to hire somebody, but I'm also doing all the work. And I did have other people working for me, but we had a full stable of clients and I had newborns. But us Gen X, we were told you could do it all, right?
We were told you almost had to do it all because you've been given all these opportunities. So what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? You have a nanny that you're paying gazillions. Thank God for them, that this whole nanny family, thank God I'd be dead. I'd be dead without them. But then everyone's like, oh, you have a nanny. You don't work. Oh, honey, I was working from 8 to midnight every night. I had three babies. And I was still like volunteering for the junior league. And I was doing all this crazy shit. And then one day my husband and I looked at each other. We got to leave the city. So we left. We moved up to Marin, which if you guys aren't from here, it's just north. It's a little bit of the burb. So we're still close to San Francisco. But I still had my company. And so I still had my office. I still had my business. And it took a few years. I'm giving the very condensed version of I was a crazy person. And I told myself I didn't want to end up like my father in particular. We've made amends, but he used to yell and scream. And I became that person. I was like, oh shit, I'm turning into my dad. And I worked really hard to get my babies. I had to go through IVF, all these fertility problems. And I'm like, can you just go to bed? Remember that book, Go the Fuck to Sleep?
Do I ever?
Can you just go to sleep? Because I have 20 more hours worth of work to do. And then I got to do this whole freaking thing the next day. So one day my husband comes to me and he's like, something's got to give. Well, what? Because I was yelling at him. I was going to end up divorced. My kids were going to be in therapy for the rest of their lives. My clients were all fine. It was all fine on the outside. The big old shit show on the inside. So I took the hard step of stepping back. And I started slowly dismantling the business, letting client contracts just fade away. Any new business came in, I just referred it out, wrapped things up. It took about a year to do that. Just kind of wrapped it up into a bow. And then, when I was left with myself. So then I was left with myself. And it's all I'd done since my early 20s was PR. I've always had a job, always made money. So that was a crazy thing and really good money to walk away from that, to step back. And we were lucky that we sold our place in the city. So we had a little bit of money in the bank so I could step back. You know, raising three kids ain't cheap where we live. But it was a big mental, emotional roller coaster. And I'd seen an astrologer and this woman pointed me in the direction, basically told me my health was failing. And so I did go seek out help because I have adrenal fatigue. I had no iron. I couldn't get out of bed. So I kind of was in this, all things colliding. And then now I know now too, that I was also in perimenopause. I was in midlife crisis, perimenopause, depression.
And a total identity free fall because you walked away from something that you had been, quote unquote, for all those years. What was the scary thing that was whispered in your mind in the stillness when you finally had to stop and sit inside the void? What did you come to know in that place?
It was, and it wasn't right away. I cried a lot, you know, and I was so tired. I don't even know exactly if it was a perimenopause thing mixed with this identity crisis, midlife crisis. This is all I've ever known.
And just years of burnout piling up.
And years of burnout. Women who know me, I'm in this group of moms when our kids are all in preschool in the city. We still get together and they witnessed me. I just used to vibrate from the stress because I'm like, if I stop moving, this whole house of cards is going to come crashing down.
Jesus.
And I was a crazy person. You know, and I give myself compassion for that time in life because I couldn't step out of where I was to see. And my husband either. We were just in triage.
Yeah.
Constant triage, lather, rinse, repeat, triage. And nobody was telling us. I mean, my son is 18. No one was talking about this stuff. The mommy wars were raging way back when. There was, remember all that judgment of, you're working. And then it's like, well, you're not working. And there was just mommy judgment. You're breastfeeding. You're not. We got to work and do all the things and look good and still be involved with nonprofits. And by the way, run a, and have three kids in diapers. It was stupid. A lot of us dealt with that. So when you get quiet, it's like, well, what's coming in? Nothing was coming in for a while. I was just so tired. And then this is the clincher, and I have done a podcast episode on this. It was a long time ago. When you're not healthy and well, and you're dealing with all your own shit that you got to unpack, you can start to blame everybody else for everything. I was blaming where I lived. I desperately wanted to move home, back home to Hawaii. I thought that was, but my husband's job is here. I had no job at the time. So he's like, how are we making money when my job's here? And he's in real estate. And so I almost blew up my marriage because I was so unwell. I wasn't fun to be around. You know me now, but back then, if I went to lunch with you, I would have required a 3-hour nap because that's just how burned out I was.
Wait, I want to press pause on this for a second because I think you're saying something that I don't think I've heard. I haven't heard this. I've heard a lot about burnout because we're all living through it. But what I have not heard is someone make the connection between when we finally make time to deal with the burnout, the first thing we do in the quiet is look outside of ourselves for somebody to blame or something to blame. And sister, that is resonating for me. There are times when I'm like, I don't want to live in this town anymore. It's all this town's fault. How did you evolve beyond? Because it's so much easier to point the finger and be like, my marriage sucks, my town sucks, my whatever, my kid's school sucks, whatever it is. How did you finally lock in on it's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me, partially?
100%. A lot of therapy and really listening to what my therapist had to say. And she was my therapist that I had discovered when I was about 31, when I was going through all my fertility stuff, which was another, that just blew open everything. I had examined my relationship with my husband, my father. It was another big pivotal time when it was everybody's fault that I couldn't get pregnant. So she knew me really well. And she's like, this is exactly what's happening. You have to be okay to be in the discomfort. And it doesn't happen overnight. And so she uses the butterfly analogy of you've got to go inward and go into the chrysalis where it's all mushy and gooey and nurture yourself. And for a lot of women listening, and I know you're one, when you're type A and control and you're driving and doing and going, to stop rattles your world.
It's freaking brutal.
And then you expect that you're quiet for 5 minutes and that you're going to get the next thing overnight. It's no, it doesn't.
Oh no.
And I tell that to women all the time. It's not going to happen overnight and you have to stop. And I never, and one of the reasons why I'm doing all I'm doing is I never want anyone to get to the place I got. I was ill. My hair was about to fall out. I couldn't stand up without seeing stars. Massive burnout. My kids were suffering. Thank God I asked them about it now. And they're like, oh, they don't remember. Oh, thank God. That's going to save me thousands in therapy.
Oh, seriously. But let's say somebody listening to this absolutely is in that spot and they are staring down the barrel of quiet and stillness. And what advice do you have for them in that moment?
Hello, fabulous listeners. I want to let you know that our friends at Pandia Health have launched a service to provide menopause and perimenopause symptom treatment directly to you from the comfort of your own home. We hear so much about the challenges facing midlife women at work and in daily life, and not enough about the very safe, very real treatments available to help us deal with the hot flashes, the headaches, the mood swings, dry skin, vaginal discomfort, and UTIs. Wow, it's really a long list. But you don't have to suffer. Everyone who signs up gets a consultation with a doctor who has expertise in menopause and is overseen by a Menopause Society certified physician. Your doctor works with you to get the best treatment for your body and your preferences. And that's so important because taking care of your health and well-being is part of empowerment, especially in midlife. Do not let menopause symptoms get in your way. And the best part is medications are delivered for free. You can check out Pandia Health and learn more at pandiahealth.com/menopause or by clicking the link in the show notes. Use my code JenMarples for 10% off. Again, that's JenMarples for 10% off. Yeah, you've got to, first of all, know that you're worthy of a life that you desire. And then it's not somehow, I think we were all told that it's somehow, it's not some type of a luxury to kind of sit there with yourself, because we think we have to be producing. And I could stop working because we had money in the bank because we sold our house, but that had other implications where we didn't buy another house right away. But,
yes, exactly.
So there's always this thing, but at our time, we equated it to a medical crisis. I was in a crisis. I could not go on. I probably would have punched my fist through a window or something.
Or you would have gotten an autoimmune situation.
Something. God only knows. Maybe it was my relationships that were going to suffer. Maybe my marriage would have blown up. I don't know. But because of that therapist saying, you have to get quiet. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to have that self-care and take care of yourself and allow things to come in and be okay with not doing and going. And by the way, this is all happening when my kids were very young, in early grade school. So there was still a ton going on. It's not like I was sitting there eating freaking bonbons or anything. You know, it was trying to put myself back together and be still kind of helping my husband's business on the side. There was no stress there. I was like, here, I helped him with some of his marketing. And then I had these kids and I had to take a break. And I realized, Bronwyn, I had been working since I was 16.
Yeah.
I never took a break ever. Working, school, like I've just been a doer, crusher.
The world rewards us for that. I mean, those of us that are type A, we aren't just type A crushers because it feels good. It's because of the validation that it gives us. When the external world is saying, wow, good on you. You burned it down. You left it all on the court. That's very, very validating. So, but going back to your first piece of advice was know that you deserve to build a life that you desire. If somebody had said that to you in the midst of before you decided to wind down the PR business, if somebody had said in that craziness, Jen, you deserve to have a life you desire, what would that self have said?
Literally, and I think this is a funny way to think about it, because in that dire, dire moment, I don't even think I would have heard it. And I think this is generational too. For us to work was to suffer.
Yes, right.
And to slog. And I have to say this, like in the early part, like with my business, there was a lot of joy and I really loved my clients. There was just like the pressure of the work and the responsibility. And I like to say all my gifts at the time were my greatest asset and also my greatest liability.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, a crisis, it's great. But I'm like, how many years is that taking off my life right now? Because I'm in like this constant state of this adrenal thing. And I also forgot to mention too, that I do think I had some type of undiagnosed postpartum depression, knowing all the stuff that I know now.
Yeah.
But I powered through. But I did, you know, I did hear it from my therapist, that advice that I give women, because I was just at the wit's end, bottom of the barrel, had zero reserves. I didn't want to die, but like I felt like I was dying. There is a worthy thing. And we know, I know you had stuff with your dad. I had stuff with my dad. So this there's control, there's external success and all that, that compensates for other things. And when you don't have that anymore, then you're like, what is my value to the world? And if anyone out there is listening who doesn't feel valued, run, don't walk to your therapist to get it sorted, because you are. We all, no one has to do a goddamn thing to be worthy. And that's taken a lot of therapy, a lot of work. You know, I did coaching training and just, I had all these ahas in there. And then you realize what I'm doing now for me personally was that I had the exact right parents for my journey on this earth to be able to serve the women in the way that I want to serve them.
And that's the perfect, actually, that's a perfect segue to you go from the absolute lowest of lows where you feel like your body is literally like, okay, girl, if you're not going to take care of me, I'm not going to take care of you. Your body's starting to check out. Then you pivot and build something new. Take us to that moment where you're like, no, I'm going to get back out there, but I'm not doing the old thing. I'm doing something new.
Right. So it wasn't a straight path. And it's interesting too, the more I've explored the numerology and numbers, none of us have tapped in and none of us were taught to tap into anything except to just keep achieving and getting to the next level and popping out kids and owning home. No one said it's a, you can look and hop off that sort of what society wants us to do. There isn't a straight line, a straight path. So I've gotten more metaphysical about everything. And I've also realized you're not just going to jump off of one thing and jump into another thing. And so give yourself time. Of course, it took me longer. I know because I was completely fried. And I did have to put my health back together. But typically, it's still not going to happen overnight.
I think this whole Tony Robbins bullshit about burn the boats and then you have to make it work. That ain't how it works for women. We don't burn the boats. Like, we got to do it gradually.
No, and that's coming from a male perspective. And yeah. I'm very acutely aware of like what happens to women, especially in midlife. There's death and divorce and this and that.
And caretaking.
Like, don't ever burn the boats until you have, if you're starting another business, that's all set and you can pay your bills. Because
amen.
Tony Robbins can say burn the boats. He's built a billion-dollar empire, but talk to a woman who's newly divorced and hasn't worked in 5 years.
And Tony Robbins, even if he did get divorced or even if he has kids, maybe he has them, he's not the main one taking care of them. That was advice for dudes. And thank you. God bless. But we need different advice.
Right. And it's why even, and then there's that advice for women earlier, but then there's all this stuff happening now. So it just, it's not a totally straight path. But so for me, it took a few years and I did coaching training, yoga teacher training, and just because I just love yoga, but I wasn't going to teach yoga. It was funny. I thought, oh, I'd just be a life coach, but it turns out I am a consultant. But that was after a lot of introspection. But the big point there is you've got to just, you have to stop, you have to think, and then start doing things that sound interesting. So I started hosting women's events. I didn't even know what it was all going to mean. And I should say I was still doing PR on the side, but no big firm, no agency, just kind of low-key consulting with people I knew in the wine business and whatnot. So it wasn't a thing, but it was, I was doing stuff, making money. Had my first event maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I'm like, I have a hunch that women are feeling alone. Threw together an event, all these women showed up. Okay, I'm on to something. So that was going. And then I was like, okay, COVID was happening. I went into kind of a quasi business with some friends to open up another PR firm. Did that through COVID for like a year. And then that really cemented that I couldn't do PR for industries and for people that I had no connection with.
Yeah.
So that was like a blessing. And then I woke up one day, it was about 4 years ago. And my listeners, you guys might have heard this. Literally, I woke up like there was a crack in the universe one day, and it was the Holy Spirit himself was like, girl, it's go time. Go all in on women. I didn't know what it was going to be. And I thought I was having a manic episode. I went to my desk. I proclaimed my age. I was 51 at the time. And I said, this is what I've done. This is what I'm doing now. And I just started showing up and just started taking action. I'm here and here and here. A couple months passed. Showing up and doing that, wrapped up those PR clients, hired a business coach. Let's figure this out. And then I launched the podcast September of 21. And I've been wanting to do one for years.
Yeah.
And then the You're Not Too Fucking Old came out of that. And then I just kept, you know, I was working with women, found myself doing more of the business stuff, more business masterminds. Life coaching is not really my area of expertise because the women that would come to me, I just all of a sudden we're building businesses. We're just doing that. So that then came to my realization. And Bronwyn, you all, was a big piece of this because last summer I was like, what is it that I'm missing here? And this is why we talk to friends and we're in groups and we do these types of things, because the things that are right in front of your face, you cannot see.
It's true. And it doesn't make you any less. It just means you can't see it because you're in it.
And that's why, you know, I'm so good at fixing other people. It's not me, you know, with the cobbler with the bad shoes. And so Bronwyn just said something to me just about pivoting. Really, who are you helping? And that just made me think I'm helping because I already am. I already was. I was helping women in business.
Yes.
Entrepreneurs start businesses or grow businesses. And then so that started the journey of today, launching the agency and kind of tweaking the podcast. And now it's so aligned and women are coming. I knew it. And this is what I'm so good at. I'm just so good at helping women get out there. And so in addition to all the technical stuff, there's just the whole mindset thing, because that's the hardest part.
Let's actually talk about this. So right now you are helping women really show up and get into the spotlight, because we don't always know what to do when the spotlight hits our faces and all the words have to come out. Talk about who are you serving? Like, who is your ideal? And what are you helping her to do or be or both?
I'm so passionate about women and equality and getting women's voices heard, and especially midlife women, women over 40. Although I have to say being 54, 40 feels 40 is midlife, but it feels like a baby when you're at 54. But there are so many forces out there that are trying to keep us down. We don't have pay equality. 70% of the voices out there are men's voices. And it really pisses me off, because if we don't get out there to get seen, heard, we don't get paid and we don't make an impact. And so many women that have been in my programs and that I've coached and who have been, you know, agency clients, so many are terrified. And I get it. Terrified to get up and out because this is a whole new way of doing business than it was 15 years ago when we didn't have all this. We didn't have to show up like we have to show up now because nobody knows you exist if you're at least at minimum on LinkedIn or something. But you've got, the more you're out there, the more you're going to connect to your ideal person. I know of what I speak because when I went through this whole sort of pivot myself, I put myself through my own process of what are my key messages? Who am I speaking to? What do I need to do? Am I continuing on with the podcast? I just launched YouTube. So I'm out there in the ways that make sense for me and my business. And case in point, I'm helping a woman launch a business. Before I give her a story, just a sidebar that when you're launching something 20s, even 30s, you don't have a lot of responsibility. But when you're in midlife, most of us have kids. If you don't have kids, you have aging parents. There's just shit going on all around you. So it's not going to be this, if I put my head down, life's just going to unfold perfectly for me. Somebody I'm working with right now has some crazy things going on at home. So we had to take a pause on her deadlines to get things done. And guess what? That's okay. She's launching a whole new business and she's going on her own for the first time in 30 years. And then she said to me, I can't do this without you. And I enlisted one of my strategic partners who's helping with the web design and her whole branding look and feel. And when we had a photo shoot for her, and we also had another client who's a stylist style her for this, I literally, no shit, started crying at the photo shoot because I see this woman who's going off on her own, starting this whole new chapter and knowing her whole story of the shit that she has to do just to get out of bed in the morning to do this.
Wow.
And she looks so great at this photo shoot. And there's a woman who I work with, Lori. She's been on the show, Lori Bishop. She's 60, the photographer and the graphic designer. I'm 54, helping her launch this business and get all her bits together.
Yeah.
I just was blown away by the power of we're all over 50, all helping each other. All everybody involved was in their area of expertise.
Yes. That's such a myth too, is I think we have to do it. I was just talking to a friend over the weekend who was like, I want to do this thing, but I just can't get my, and I'm like, because you don't have any support. Who do you have in your corner that's cheering you on and saying, now you book the photographer and now you do the da-da-da and let me help you with the key messages. I think we are willing to invest in lots of things, but we forget that the most important thing to invest in is a freaking support network that knows what the hell they're doing.
It saves time and money because we'll all go buy shoes on a whim. You'll go buy 20 new outfits on a trip. You'll pay for baseball camp.
I had a client that spent so much money on, and there's no shade in this because this is money well spent, God knows, on cosmetic issues, because that's another added thing that we have to deal with in middle age. And she's parked all of her investment in the face and the neck. Don't get me freaking started on the neck that we all have to deal with. But then went out into the spotlight and didn't nail, what's my key message? What are the hard questions that are coming? Have I really confronted my fear of public speaking? Or did I think that getting more Botox was going to make me less scared of being on camera? Spoiler alert, it doesn't. What do you tell people? A lot of us have that voice in our head that says, I can't possibly do that. I can't afford that. I shouldn't do that. I got to keep it as cheap as possible. Talk to that for a second.
What I'm doing now is why I decided to open up this agency too, is to save time, effort, and money. Because I did this, I had a business coach, but then I wasn't loving my first web designer. Thousands were thrown out the door with my first web designer who I did not like. I hated my website for 2 years. It was embarrassing. Do I want to spend another $6,000 to get another website done when I'm doing all these other things? I've got a podcast. I've got this. I've got that. I hired a PR firm to help me pitch the podcast that literally got me 4 bookings. And I spent, you know, it's like, I can't, right? So
yes,
the way I come at this is I've been here, I've done that. And especially with the agency, I've got you covered with all the people you might need. And if I don't have it here or you're located somewhere else, I will go to the end of the earth to find the right people for you.
Oh my God, that is huge. Do you know how many times I've heard from women that they have thrown good money after bad, especially on public relations? It's because they don't have a you.
Yeah. And to tell you honestly of what it takes, I'm not going to take anybody's money without, I did this when I had my firm. And that particular little PR bit of what to go try to get it in the New York Times, whatever you want to do, that's a long game. That is a long haul that usually takes a lot of investment.
Yeah.
It's a long game. But what we do is you got to get your home in order. because you have so many things that you can do yourself via your own outlets, newsletters, YouTube, podcasts, all this stuff before you even think about going out to the press. But the most important thing, and you kind of brought this up with, it's not hair and makeup, it's not pretty logos and all this, it's overcoming the fear and becoming your authentic self. And that's your, you know, Bronwyn, everyone, is an authentic communications coach. And I have to plug her for 2 seconds because she helped me with my big keynote in December. And she's fabulous.
I barely had to help you. Girl, you had that.
But I needed mentally to know that someone who is an expert in this thought it wasn't a piece, you know, pile of dog shit.
When I quote unquote helped you, I was basically like, damn, that is good. That's all I did.
And sometimes that's what you need.
That's what you need. Exactly. Because I would have told you if it wasn't. I would have helped you make it better. And I didn't need to because it was already killer.
And I knew you would. And so the number one for women, if you have all this pretty stuff, pretty website, pretty business cards, pretty outfits, pretty shoes, but if you don't feel confident in who you are and what you're offering, none of it matters. I had a lot of success in working with women before I had anything shiny. It's because it's your reputation. It's showing up as your authentic self. And women are afraid to do it. And now, especially in midlife, and it's what business is demanding, and I know it's scary, and you don't have to talk about all the things, but you have to be really clear. And I use the you're not too fucking old as an example. When I went out with that and it's trademarked, I knew I'd take a hit. I know not everyone was going to like that, and they'd be clutching their pearls because of the F word and all of that, and they came after me, but I couldn't let that stop me. And I had people really close to me going, are you crazy? You have to be really strong. But I had somebody who I was working with. He said, no, this is great. I had 2 women actually. And one was a very close old PR colleague, 20 years, knows me. She's like, no, that's it. And that's going to be the name of your book. It'll be fucking hot pink. Okay. So we need people to help us because I don't ever want anyone to think that it's just easy. Like what? It's hard. Yeah. You know what? It is actually hard, but you got to align with the right people. The more I step into me, the more people come to, I don't need to work with everybody. No one needs to work with everybody.
That's right.
I don't care.
In fact, you know, you're on the right track when you piss off a few people along the way. That means you're doing something worthwhile.
Yeah. I love it when the men come after me. Do you have to use such language?
Ooh, fuck yeah, I do.
You're the reason why, white guy, I got to use this language because we have to, like, I want to shake women. And that's really what the You're Not Too Fucking Old about is. It's shaking me as much as it's shaking everybody out of our stupor that you are too old. What did I just see? Oh, a friend of mine is working with Gwen Stefani's new cosmetic line. And she just, before we got on here, I was posting something and then her little thing popped up there, Coachella. Gwen Stefani's my age. She might even be a year older. Rocking a concert with a new cosmetics line. I mean, I know she has money, whatever, but the whole point is she's 55 probably and killing it. So it's all mental. So it's getting over the fear, not giving a shit what people think, aligning with the right people. And people know me. When you meet me, you know me. Wherever you meet me, I'm going to be the most excited person to see you. I love people hard. I really fucking care.
And what I love about what you do is you're not just focused on mindset and getting over the fear. You're actually giving people really practical tools. Just quickly talk about some of the most impactful tools that you give people.
Yeah. So like a plan. So it's really all based on what you want to do. I have one client right now. So proud of her. She was a good student. So she was kind of in my sort of signature, we'll call it. Well, it's called stepping into the spotlight. She's a stylist, kind of getting up and going, never done it before, always had wanted to do it. And she stayed. So consistency, it's kind of showing up and saying yes to yourself is number one and taking action. So for her in particular, it was one social media outlet, showing up consistently. We worked on her messaging, positioning, who she reaching out to, who's her ideal client today? Where does she want to take the business? So it's kind of laying all this out. So there's a strategic plan. So then we nailed social media outlet number one. Then we added social media outlet number two, literally within a month of working with her. And she started on TikTok. She got a brand deal, cash money with having less than 1,000 followers.
Wow.
And that comes from everyone being super clear on who you are and no bullshit and showing up in her own style, in her own way, not giving a shit, but there to serve the people that want. And this is a big brand, cash money, and then came back again with stuff in trade. So like $1,000 worth of clothes and $3,000 earrings.
Unbelievable.
Like 1,000 people. And then she just told me today that somebody just hired her to dress her for the White House correspondence dinner. And that's all for becoming clear, the clarity, and also taking the steps and how you roll things out. And yeah, so the consistency, the clarity of voice, what your key message is, who you are, how you're showing up in the world. She doesn't even have a website. So you don't need to start with a website. You can start with social media. You can do a website later. We had a great branding shoot. So I helped art direct the branding shoot. So it's just her style and she's killing it. We've been doing this. This has been a few months.
This is so game changing. I really hope, and this is kind of, we'll wind down with the next two questions, but what do you wish, based on that story, that success story, what do you wish women knew?
I wish that all women knew that they were amazing, worthy of success, and that you actually have everything you need inside you right now to get going. Because you did not get to be 40 plus without doing a whole lot of stuff.
Amen.
And so we stop ourselves before we start, but just get started. Just take one action.
Yes.
One action towards something that you like and see what happens. That'll inform another thing. And then it'll inform another thing. It's exactly what I did. If you would have asked me a couple of years ago, when I started another agency, I'd be like, oh my God, no. But now, because I took all those steps and did all these things, I'm coming at this a completely different way where I'm taking all my gifts, the things I'm really fucking good at. And who am I really super passionate about? Midlife women. And I married those together. And it's like magic's happening because my heart is in this. My soul is in this. And I really think when we hit midlife, you've got to do something that really means something to you. We can no longer really do something just for the sake of a paycheck. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we talked about burning boats and all of that. You can start something on the side. Everyone has a different situation. So I don't want anybody to think I'm saying burning boats and just go, oh, if you build it, they will come. It does take hard work and it takes focus, but you get to do it because I keep seeing this happening time and time again with the women I work with. But I know we have fear. And so it doesn't take confidence. It just takes courage.
That's right.
So I want all women just to have courage. Just take one courageous step. Make one phone call to a friend saying, can you know, I think you know something about X. Could you talk to me for 10 minutes? Or, you know, if you haven't worked for a while, go work in a store. Go do something. Just start doing something. If you've already got a business and you're stuck, reach out to somebody or hire a business coach or hire a Bronwyn if you're going to go do a keynote. Because if you nail something and you know you're worthy of nailing something, then you go nail a keynote, you're going to get 5 other clients out of that.
That's exactly right.
Because the guys do it. And so the other thing, I have to say this, so you've got to support each other. If you see a woman in business doing something, support her. Shout her out. Send her a text. Send her a DM going, I see you. I see. I did this to somebody I went to coaching training with. She just launched something new. I said, I see how hard you've been working. I see you. I love what you're doing. The world needs what you've got. And she was blown away. People have sent me texts like that, but imagine.
Well, this is something that you said before that resonated with me. So many of us as women don't even know what it looks like or feels like to be supported in business by other women. I think we're good at supporting each other through certain things, but when we see a sister absolutely killing it, sending them snaps isn't always our first reaction. Sometimes we're jealous. Sometimes we're like, well, I suck. Look at her. And what you say is so powerful. You're saying when you see somebody out there killing it, tell her she's killing it. Make her feel felt because we don't always do that for each other.
No, and let it be information. So if it is triggering and you're doing whatever you're doing for work or you want to start something, instead of feeling like jealous or, oh, why is she doing that? Because I hear that stuff all the time. People, we have to stop that.
I agree.
Have it be information. Why am I triggered? Oh, I'm triggered because I actually want to be doing something. And guess what? She had the courage to do it. But just say, it's information.
Doesn't make you a bad person that you're jelly, but it is information that should not be ignored. Yeah.
And we've been programmed to have those thoughts. So just go, oh, she's doing it. How do I do it?
I love it. Okay. Complete this sentence. You may be familiar with it. I'm not too fucking old to
change the world.
Yes. I love your ambition. I love your heart. I love your commitment to helping all of us who are in it. And I'm so glad you pass through sort of the belly of darkness and into the light, because you make a difference in so many of our lives, Jen. And we love you so, so much.
You're so sweet. I love you so much. I got to say one thing that just popped into my head, that
yes,
the road is never straight. And we've been kind of sold this sort of timeline of how things should unfold.
Mm.
And if you look around to our white male brethren out there and looking at the two guys running for president who are old as F, right? The world is being run by old white men. So why were we sold this thing that we can't be a president in 80? So
it's so true.
It's dismantling this notion that it's over for me. I have never been more fired up to work in my life as I am right now, and to help other women be this fired up and have the tools to build their businesses. And if someone were to tell me you'd have to stop, what would I do for the next 50 years? I plan on going out at 100. And we don't all peak at the same time. So mm-hmm. when I, Ophi, who was on my podcast, she did our astrology at the beginning of the year. So she did my chart. And my time, I'm this midlife, this is exactly my time. So there's no question why I'm so pumped up about it, because this is my time to shine. It's in the stars. This is when I come alive. This is my time to help. So don't get under like the impression that, oh, it's too late, or obviously you're not too fucking old if you're hanging out here. You can do anything. And I have to say this other thing, because a woman reached out to me on LinkedIn. She listened to my podcast, Everyone, about how to step into the spotlight, where I gave all the tools. Hopefully you all listened to that one. She wrote to me, Jen, I am so fucking fired up. I'm leaving my corporate job. Finally, I'm 62. I'm starting my new business. I'm finally getting it done. You know, like, thanks for sharing all that information. But she's like fired up.
That's amazing.
And like, that's what keeps me going.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much talent and wisdom and expertise and genius that it's such a gift that you're helping unlock that.
And you've got the tools. So it's not just, oh, you know, manifest. I like a good vision board. I like a good manifest session, but there's actual tools that you need.
Yes.
To go out there and get it done, so you can actually get seen, heard, and paid. Because I'm very passionate about that.
Seen, heard, and paid.
And make an impact.
Hashtag seen, heard, and paid. I love it.
Mayum.
I love it. Well, thank you. I keep doing what you're doing, my friend. And I feel honored to have been able to be here with you.
You were my first choice to interview because you're my little brownie sister from another mister. And we probably had, since Bronwyn wrote in her newsletter, you should sign up for her newsletter, everyone, wrote about that movie, Past Lives.
Oh.
So I watched it on the plane and oh my God, after doing this thing with my son, I had a little emotional release at the end of that one, but we were probably together in a past life.
For sure we were. I sobbed my head off on that movie too.
Oh, 100%.
Like, spectacular.
Everyone go watch that movie.
Spectacular.
But thank you, my dear, dear friend, for doing this. And thank you all for listening. I thought this would be kind of fun to flip the script, as it were. You know, I say things in fits and spurts, but you don't kind of get it in one download. But I just want this for all of you. I want all of you to tap in and do what you're meant to do and have joy. And then also know that when the shit hits the fan, it's okay too, because it's midlife and shit will hit the fan.
Yeah,
it will. So it's being in this community and being supported, and you'll get through it because we all do. So I appreciate each and every one of you listening, and I adore you, Bronwyn, my brownie sister, for interviewing me. Thank you so much.
Love you, honey. Bye, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how I can help you with your business or life, or you'd like to know more about this podcast, please visit my website at www.jenmarples.com. And if you sign up for my newsletter, I've got two free juicy gifts for you: my Stepping into the Spotlight guide if you're ready to be seen and heard in your business, and my 12 Steps to Pivot guide if you're itching for a change but don't know where to begin. Finally, I'd love to connect with you on socials, so please follow me at Jen Marples on Instagram, LinkedIn, or TikTok, and let me know you listen to the show. Nothing makes me happier than connecting with you, dear listener. Have a beautiful day.